Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
And here we go.
That's the sound of rock cracking. Once again, you got Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. And boy, some rock split last week because we had tax reform. People thought it would never get through. I wondered if it would. But Merry Christmas, America. Tax reform for 2018 is on its way. It's been signed, sealed, and delivered to the American people. Merry Christmas indeed. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to play some clips from the celebration at the White House as the final bill was passed through the Senate and the House, and the President signed it last weekend, so it would be signed, sealed, and delivered before Christmas. So Merry Christmas, everyone. We're going to play those clips, and we got a special show. Now, last week, and my family and I are at peace with it, but my mother passed away, and it's been a couple years since my father passed away. But there's a special Christmas story we had written, well, my mother had written, talking about a special Christmas in her life. Never had seen the story, but she'd written it about 10 years ago after a stroke to sort of prove to herself she still could put together something and write it. So, but it's very revealing, very beautiful story, and we've had it printed up for people at the funeral that came by in visitation to have that. And it's about a Christmas she had when she was 10 years old. It ties a lot into American history. So I'm going to tell you that story on the second half of the show, right after you hear about the deal I just didn't believe was going to get done, but like herding cats, Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan got both houses together, and they got the bill passed, went through conference, got it ironed out, passed it again. The president signed it last week, and wow, tax reform 2018, it's not the best thing since sliced bread. There are some things I would like to see different, but I like to think this is phase one. And we get a filibuster-proof Republican Senate and keep the House in 2018, we can see phase two. All right? That sounds good to me. Well, let's go right to the president. See what he had to say at the White House last week.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. And I have a whole list of accomplishments that the group behind me have done in terms of this administration and this Congress, but you've heard it before. Records all over the place, and that will continue, and then some because of what we did. But $3.2 trillion, just think of it, in tax cuts for American families, including doubling the standard deduction and doubling the child tax credit. The typical family of four earning $75,000 will see an income tax cut of more than $2,000. They're going to have $2,000, and that's, in my opinion, going to be less than the average. You're going to have a lot more than that. One thing very important for the farmers, the great farmers and the great small business owners that were forced to sell their businesses at bargain basement numbers, we have provided, for the most part, estate taxes wiped out so they can keep their farms in the family. And that, to me, is a very big factor. Very big. This is going to mean companies are going to be coming back. You know, I campaigned on the fact that we're not going to lose our companies anymore. They're going to stay in our country, and they're going to stay in our country. And you've been seeing what's been happening even at this prospect. But they have tremendous enthusiasm right now in this country, and we have companies pouring back into our country. and that means jobs, and it means really the formation of new, young, beautiful, strong companies. So that's going to be very, very important. The pass-throughs you know all about, and the small businesses are going to be big beneficiaries. We are going to bring at least $4 trillion back into this country, money that was frozen overseas and in parts and worlds, and some of them don't even like us, and they had the money. Well, they're not going to have the money long. And so it's really, I guess it's very simple when you think you haven't heard this expression, but we are making America great again. You haven't heard that, have you?
Well, I believe we've heard that expression here on this show, and I know all you listeners out there have heard it time and time again. And not only that, you've heard, let's not only make America great again, let's make it the best it's ever been. And I believe this is a foot forward in making America great again, and I look forward to seeing more victories. This was a big victory for America. Now, and you'll hear the media in a minute. I'm going to play somewhat. ABC News was there live, and some of their reporters, what they had to say. I'm going to let play it and chip in some comments that you just wish. And I imagine most of you do when you're watching them. But I will chip in on those comments after I play a short part from Paul Ryan and then Senator Tim Scott. So take a listen to that, and then we'll talk a little more about tax reform.
Really simple. The message to the hardworking taxpayers of America is your tax relief is on its way. That is what's happening here. The message to the families in America who have been struggling paycheck and paycheck, your tax rates are going down and your paychecks are going up. This is the kind of relief that Americans deserve. This is the kind of tax reform and tax cuts that get our economy growing to reach its potential. This gets us better wages, bigger paychecks, a simpler tax system. This gets the American economy competitive in the global economy. This is one of the most important things we could do for all of the people we represent. This is generational, and we're so excited that we are going to launch next year this fantastic tax reform so that the American people can see how we can truly reach our economic growth and our economic potential. And if it weren't for all the leadership of the men and women up here, this would not have been made possible. But lastly, I just want to thank the American people. I want to thank the American people for putting their trust in us, for giving us this chance and this ability to make this moment possible. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. And a job well done. You remember a year ago, people were speculating, would Paul Ryan stay as Speaker of the House because he had run-ins with President Trump, and at the end of the campaign, before the election on November 8th, he wouldn't even appear with Donald Trump. So it's good to see that they worked together on a big project called tax reform, and it came on out. But let me play a clip from Senator Tim Scott. And to me, this is really a fantastic celebration for Tim Scott because he worked on this bill. And he made sure the working poor were included. Him and Marco Rubio did not want them left out. And so take a listen to Senator Tim Scott from South Carolina.
The president said I only have about 45 more minutes, so I'm going to get to my... Oh, he didn't say that. Okay, got it. Let me just say to those Americans who are watching this process, this is not about Washington. It's not about the left. It's not about the right. It's about single-parent moms who are looking for a reason to be hopeful in 2018. This tax reform plan delivers for the average single mother a 70% tax cut. For the average family who's working paycheck to paycheck, looking for ways to be hopeful about their future, to have an extra night for dinner out at a restaurant, this tax reform package cuts their taxes by nearly 60%. And because of folks like Marco Rubio and Ivanka, when you think about the folks with kids in the household, this plan doubles the child tax credit and makes about 70% of it refundable. This is a plan that we can be proud of because it speaks to the hearts of everyday Americans.
Well, there they are celebrating, and well, they should. And, you know, the cynical left, you just get tired of it. There's one liberal that came out and on Twitter and said and called a censored Tim Scott a prop. A prop. Now, if that had been, if shoes were reversed and censored Tim Scott was a liberal and, or, you know, if he's a liberal getting on to a conservative and a conservative called him a prop, there'd be racist connotations. There would be people calling for someone to step down from their position before using that term, a prop, because he happens to be African-American. His color, his skin is black. He's standing there, and he's called a prop because he was able to speak at the White House. Well, Senator Scott returned fire. He didn't return fire. He was just saying, listen, this sad man, well, he didn't say that, but I'll say it, the sad person who called him a prop, he said, you know, how could he be a prop if he was on the ongoing writing of the bill, that he worked it out to help these poor families get more in that bill? He wrote that in himself and worked on that bill up and down, and this man, this liberal, calls him a prop. What a lot of, it's just, it's amazing. And then where is the NAACP to call someone out on this? You know, are they, you have to think, are they a political organization? Are they there to help advance the ideas for African Americans, people of color, of skin color that's different from others? And Tim Scott, you know, I would like to see people other than conservatives come to his defense. He's not a prop. He's a United States senator with a wonderful mind who's making America great again, working hard, and he gets called a prop. Well, I'm glad he's there, and I'm glad he represents not only South Carolina, he represents people all across this country in a way he works hard and has since his time in Washington as a congressman and now as a United States senator. I want to play a little bit. This is ABC News. Let me play a little clip from them, and I just got to cut in a couple of times because it's just this is the liberal media. But let me go ahead and play a clip here.
With Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell, two people with whom he has not always had the best of relationships. We saw him name check Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins, two senators who helped to tank his earlier efforts to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act. Does this mean everyone can get along now?
Well, this is a very Trumpian move. Trump has a very short attention span, and when he is, you know, seeing victory or success, he gloms on to that and he embellishes. You're hearing so many superlatives. I found it amusing to hear Speaker Paul Ryan call it exquisite presidential leadership from the president. And think of how many times have you seen
the liberal press just can't stand it when Trump is winning, and they were mocking Paul Ryan, calling his leadership exquisite. Can you hear their smirky? They just want Trump to lose, and when he wins, they just want to mock him. And I guess they better get ready to be good mockers. I think it's going to be a lot more coming. But let me play a little more here.
This came to be. You're absolutely right, though. This is a politically dicey territory here. This bill is more unpopular than any major piece of legislation has been in decades, including Obamacare. You thought people hated that one. They hate this even more. You know, the majority of Americans, the overwhelming majority of Americans, believe that this tax bill will benefit the rich. The Republicans here, right here behind behind me at the White House today say the proof will be in the pudding, that when people's taxes go down in a matter of months, come April, that they will, the support, the tides, if you will change on this one. So it remains to be seen.
I can't let it go on. Did you hear just talk about how this tax bill is hated, is worse than Obamacare, people don't like it? Well, why do you think it favors the rich? Maybe that's all the liberal media has been talking about. It doesn't favor the rich as much as it favors Americans and how much you make. And oh me. And did you hear say the Republicans said proof of being a pudding, waiting to April in the tax return? Well, why do you wait to April? It starts in January. They don't understand what tax reform is, or either they understand how outstanding it's going to be, and they're scared to death that the American people will see America become great again. I think it's desperation on this liberal media, and because of that, get ready. I think 2018, they're going to make a full-out assault on the president, and as if they're not already doing that. But, you know, it's amazing that they got this passed by calling it the worst hated legislation ever get passed. Worse than Obamacare. At least they admit Obamacare is bad now. But let's give this time to grow and see how it helps stimulate the economy. But that's Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. I'm reminding you, you're listening to us on webtalkradio.net. That's webtalkradio.net. And we're doing our Merry Christmas show. And we've had Happy Hanukkah this past week. And I just wish that Americans would pull it together in this time of peace and love and see that this president and this Congress want to make America great again. And I just going to say, you're going to have to get through all the false news, the fake media, and what they're pouring out. And let's see if we can actually get tax reform that stimulates the economy. We'll see. We're going to see very soon. 2018, it's around the corner. So let me just end with the tax reform being passed. And in a minute, I'm going to tell you this special Christmas story for this special Christmas season when I've just buried my mother. And it's a touching story I want to share with you. But the thing about tax reform, I want you to know, you watch the economy. Just forget about what people are saying. The media, I don't care if conservative media, liberal media, just forget about it and watch and see if the economy will start. That doesn't mean watch in the stock market if it crashes. That doesn't mean the economy is not doing well. We'll have fluctuations in the stock market. And, you know, because a lot of people made a lot of money in the stock market. Come January 1st, you don't have to pay taxes on that until April of 2019. So we're probably going to see some selling in early part of January of the stock market. That's just natural. People want to make sure to take some money off the table. Some folks that's made, and a lot of people have made some since Donald Trump was elected, since election night. What is it? The stock market's up over 20%. So we're going to see some of that selling. But don't sell America short. As we see tax reform, it's not as good as I'd like to see. No way. But it's a step forward, and it'll get us momentum, and we can build on that. We can make America not only great again, but the best it's ever been. Now, let me go right into a Christmas story. Now, I do want to tell you a special Christmas story that I'd never heard until last week. As I told you, my mother passed away, and it was expected. And she's 87 years old. She was born in 1930. But she had written this about 10 years ago because she had had a stroke and she wanted to test her writing abilities. And during her life, she did write for magazines and newspapers and enjoyed telling stories and putting some of them down and on paper. And so I'd never seen this story. My sister found it, and we put it in a little four-page pamphlet form for those who came to her funeral. And talks about a Christmas that was very special to my mother. Let me just share a short version of this story for you. It was the year was 1930. My mother was the year my mother was born, but her early childhood was like many others, where she was born into a really poverty. There was North Mississippi, the hill country, what they called a hill country. She was born right outside of a little town called Faulkner, and Faulkner was named for the Colonel Faulkner, who was the great-grandfather of William Faulkner, the famous literature author that won the Nobel Prize for literature. But there in those hills that she was born into, they raised cotton like just about everybody else in Mississippi did during those years. And I know that I had someone that I know that was just a couple years younger than her that grew up with her, and his family's land was next to my mother's small plot of farmland. And when one family finished picking cotton, they would help the other, and vice versa. And he talked about my mom. My mom's name was Mildred, and he said, now Mildred, she really knew how to pick cotton. He said she would pick the wet cotton. He said he and my mother's sister Lovey, they didn't like picking the wet cotton. So whenever my mother's cotton sack, they put it on the weigh it. When it got weighed, it was always a lot heavier because she liked picking the wet cotton, and that helped her out when it came to pay. But let's move on to the story there in North Mississippi, that growing up on a farm, her mom and dad, and she would talk about, you know, normal childhood pretty much till she was 10 years old. And at age 10, and early in the year of 1940, her father passed away. And then it was I remember one time I asked my mom, what, you know, how did you make it, what did you think after your father passed away and you're 10 years old? She said she remembered the night after they buried her father, that she asked her mom that same thing. She said, Mama, what are we going to do? And her mother told her, remember, no matter what happens, God is always on your side. And she needed those words of comfort because on December 7th, 1940, her mom died. And that left her and her sister, she was about 10, her sister's 12, and then they had some teenage boys as brothers, four brothers, and they had to decide, would they divide the family up and spread them out among other family members to finish raising? But the boys said they could take care of the girls and to let them, you know, stay as a family. So that was, they decided that's what would be done. And this is where my mother's story came in. She talked about that and how losing her mom and just about 3 weeks before Christmas, and then having her brothers run the household. And so they tried to keep things the way it was. And as Christmas approached, they got a Christmas tree and they got a bucket of sand and they planted that Christmas tree. And her sister, my mom and her sister, made some little paper cuttings and decorated the tree. But their brother told them, you know, it's really, really going to be hard because there is absolutely no money for presents. So there will not be any presents this year for Christmas. And that really hurt the 10-year-old and 12-year-old, my mom and her sister Lovey, but they understood that things would be different without her mom. And so, but they tried to keep things that they remembered. Every Christmas, their mom would clean the white bed sheets and curtains, a house, whatever. They would wash them. Their mom would always get in the big iron pot. They put a fire in there and boil the water. And of course, they had no electricity out in the country there in 1940. But they did what their mom did. The boys helped them get the fire started in a big boiling pot of water. They put the white clothes in and just clean those curtains and bed sheets and everything that was white. And they got the girls got them clean, and they hung them out on the clothesline. And it was, you know, it's not a Minnesota winter in Mississippi, but in North Mississippi it was chilly, and they had to do all this work outside and hanging the clothes, and didn't really have proper headgear or any gloves or anything. And she said she remembered being so cold and wore out when they finally got all the clothes washed, and she couldn't wait to run inside and get her feet by the fire. And there she warmed up, and she just remembered thinking how hard that was. And then she said that in a couple of days, her sister and her were the only ones in the house during the day, and you know, they knew they were alone, and her brothers were out doing some work, and they didn't know what to do, because they heard the sound of a car. And they hardly ever heard a car. These were dirt roads, and they said in the wintertime, most cars had a hard time getting up the hills. And so very, very few times did they ever hear the engine of a car. And in the wintertime, and they heard the engine of a car coming. And then they listened, and as it got closer, they saw it drove up into their driveway at their house. And they didn't know what to do. They didn't know they ought to be scared. They should let somebody know they were there. And they were peeking through the window. And then they saw their cousin Ann come out. She was 4 years old, and she had gifts. She had gift-wrapped gifts. And their cousin Oscar had driven up, and he'd brought gifts for Christmas. And my mom was ecstatic. And so was her sister, Lovey. And they took those gifts, and they had a Christmas. And in those Christmas gifts, they unwrapped them. They had like toboggans and mittens for their hands. And they had a little ceramic doll that I never had seen, just about 4 or 5 inches tall. And my mother told my sister how much she had loved that. Never did let any of us know when we were children, because she couldn't dare the thought of it being lost or broken. But she showed my sister just about 10 years ago that how she kept it all those years. And she said, you can see how much I played with it, because all the paint was rubbed off of this little ceramic doll. And that made one of the best Christmases she ever had. And I'm glad she had that joy to the world that comes with Christmas. And she needed it, because the challenges kept on, because on December 7th, 1941, you know, the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, and her brothers started getting drafted into the war. And her brother Tom died in World War II. And so she had some tough times. And through those challenges, God molded her into what she would become, the best mother anybody could ever have. And my dad passed away a couple of years ago. Now my mother has passed away. But I'm at peace with everything, because I know I'll see him again. I'll see him again. They had a great faith. And that's my little personal story of Christmas, a Christmas that my mom remembered our life, and now I'm glad I know about it and you know about it. And what I'd say, go out and find those out there and help Christmas be the best it can be in their lives. People need some help, find those that need help, make their Christmas a great Christmas. That's really how we'll make America great again. Go out there, find those that need a Christmas. You do it. I'll do it. And let's make America not only great again, but the best it's ever been. God bless you, and a very Merry Christmas to each and every one. And may I say, Happy New Year. If you don't hear me before the new year begins. See you next week.
Thanks for joining us today. And remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Bedrock Truths, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen or visit docholliday.org. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.